everyone. I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed. I'm very excited today. I'm here with Tana Jackson. She is the Global Director of Revenue Operations at Chronicle Heritage. Tana, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming today. Maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much. I know we've been trying to connect, so I'm super excited to finally be here today. Would love to share a little bit about myself and RevOps. A little bit about me. I started my career really in healthcare and nursing and decided I did not want to be responsible for people's lives. So I was like, not for me. So I really leaned into management and I was always asking questions. It seemed like no matter where I worked, I was always asking people in other departments, what do you do? How can I help? And always digging into whatever they were doing. And in that same realm, it was like, how can I work smarter, not harder? And I was always finding ways to connect A and B together, no matter what it was. It could have been helping somebody do something in a room, to doing the charts and in a computer, to helping the IT person connect phones. It was always, how can we get to A and B? So for me, over those years of healthcare, I worked in different industries. I ran offices. I saw business development at a high level at a hospital. And really seeing how businesses ran differently. You know, everybody does things differently. Their tech stacks are different. How they run everything different. I've worn all the hats. I feel like that was the key to being able to come into operations and RevOps is you get that creative problem solving brain from seeing all these different ways to do things instead of just seeing it one way. And then I jumped into tech. So I had 10 years in healthcare and then I jumped into tech and I haven't looked back. I've kind of stayed there. And I feel once Salesforce became my baby, that was like the stamp of like, I love this. This is where I want to be. And that's kind of where I've been since. I have two young men that I've raised. I have two dogs and I'm actually an artist. So I paint, do murals, portraits, all of that other fun stuff in my free time.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot packed in there. I love that you get to apply your creativity too, right? Just having that kind of artist mind and looking at problems, I'm sure helps you and all that experience. I know I've heard from people, they, you know, you kind of see it like the Matrix, like you can see all these things and all these problems you want to fix and diving into it, which I know a lot of the role of revenue operations is trying to kind of piece all that together. I wanted to say as well, before I forget, congratulations on the Ones to Watch Award. So I know you were nominated and won that award. So congratulations with the Revenue Operations Alliance on
that.
Thank
you so much. And thank you. Congratulations to you as well.
Very, very fun. Okay, cool. Well, thank you. So how did you, it sounds a little bit like, you know, after kind of in the healthcare, that's how you got into RevOps. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about your first gig, like in the RevOps world.
Sure. And what's really interesting, you know, you said the Matrix, I always think of that movie, The Numbers, where the guy is standing there and you see all these numbers flashing. That's how I kind of, when you see all the problems, you visualize it. Well, what was interesting is, you know, RevOps got the cool name. You know, maybe what, 6-7 years ago, it didn't really exist up until recently when we got a cool tag name. It's always just been more a business operations, or you're like a manager of something and you just end up taking on that role of pulling things together. So when I first jumped into tech, it was in SaaS. It was a 24/7 call center and I took over a billing customer loyalty department. So it was just by chance. And for me, I was always, even though I had my bubble in my department and my team that I was responsible for, I was like the end of the food chain. So it's like when customers have already bought things and you're trying to retain them, I was always asking up the chain, like, what are you doing? Well, how does this start here with sales? How is sales doing this? How is, you know, if they're calling in for support. So it was seeing, I think, my first real operational, full holistic picture in one umbrella, you know, because we had the whole 24/7 thing going. And then moving into tech stacks like Talkdesk and Salesforce, and I kind of led the charge in that and learned it. It was almost like a crash course in RevOps in 2 years. But I thrived in the madness of just pulling it all together and understanding all that. And I feel like that was really like my first true piece of that operational RevOps per se thing. And then after that, that was just, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Like that was my thing. That was my sweet spot.
Definitely. I mean, you're really getting that hands-on with the customer. So you're seeing it from the customer's viewpoint, which is really the true spirit of RevOps, right, is enabling the customer through, you know, their experience with the organization at whatever stage they're engaging. So if you're on the back end of the talk desk and Salesforce and everything, you're kind of seeing that in a customer service type of a role. So that makes a lot of sense where you're kind of RevOps beginnings came from. That's awesome.
Yeah, it came from that. And then I was able, just on that part of it, was to be able to join UCI's board of advisors for their customer experience program, talking about the customer side, learning that whole customer journey. So I feel like those two key pieces is where, you know, you're understanding it from your inside users, you're understanding it from the customer, and you kind of pull all that together. And here we are now.
That's so important. How do you recommend people get plugged into that? Because not everybody comes from, you know, being in it, in that experience as you have getting into RevOps. So how do you suggest people get plugged in like that to really understand the full company customer experience at their organization?
I think that really, you know, no matter where somebody is, it's just asking questions and building those relationships. Like, you know, the core part of RevOps, you have to build relationships. You have to collaborate with so many people and teams. If you're building relationships with finance, with support, with sales, with, you know, customer success, whatever it is that you have in your org, even the E team, even, you know, the people that you don't even talk to every day, I think it's really building the relationships and asking the questions like, what do you do? Especially in the remote environment, we're not in an office that we can kind of just go walk around and see what everybody does and be a part of it. It's more, you have to engage, you have to ask questions, you have to kind of learn that. And I feel like that's the one part with RevOps. Being successful in it, you have to understand all of that and what everybody's doing versus, you know, just sales ops or just customer success ops or just marketing ops. You have to really see all of it from end to end.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that starts with the onboarding, right? So hopefully, you know, good onboarding plans will involve just introductions, even with different parts of the organization and understanding different roles and, you know, whether it's on the operations side or if it's on an implementations or project management team, engineering, like throughout the organization. But if that's not provided for you, I think you have to be proactive, right? And like,
that was going to be my next.
Go meet the people, right? Yes. Go find, go dig, go look at the org charts and ask for meetings. Don't just sit around for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part too, is, you know, you're part of your own destiny. So if you aren't being proactive or they aren't giving it to, especially if you thrive in startup, you know, startup, there isn't a lot of organization. There isn't a lot of like, hey, we've got it together. You're part of getting it together. So you do have to really take that initiative and say, hey, you know, who are the people that I should go talk to? Or you go through, like you said, the org chart and put meetings on their calendar. Like, hey, I just want to introduce myself and talk. So I think we've seen the gamut of that whole part of it. So.
Yeah, and that's a big part of being in RevOps at all, right? You have to be a collaborator. You have to be somebody who, you know, takes the lead on making those introductions and making yourself known in the company to drive some of those initiatives. Because again, it goes back to the customer. And that's something that you and I were talking about is, and one of our main things I think we wanted to discuss today is around companies just not always understanding RevOps. So maybe you can unleash a little bit about some of your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I think it's really interesting. So I'll say, and I love hearing everybody's stories about, you know, what is RevOps? Because that's one of my key interview questions in RevOps positions. What is your definition of RevOps? Or when I take on a role, asking the company, what exactly are you saying RevOps is? So I think that's part of businesses see that this is a cool new thing that's out there. Everybody's hiring RevOps. And it extends from, oh, you have just an admin of your CRM, they're RevOps. But they're not really in what we would consider it being RevOps. Or, you know, you're hiring just a one siloed person to try to do all these things. There's no way that somebody can be successful in RevOps and end up having to do enablement, all of your operational stuff, run all of your systems, keep track of, you know, contracts and customer management, or support the teams, you know, especially when you have large teams or you're spread through all of it and you're dealing with the project managers and account managers, not just sales. So I feel like that is a big disconnect with some companies of not understanding, like, how RevOps can really be a support system for them, but how to set it up to be effective. You know, I do think there is still that split of companies. They have IT, they have operations, they have support, they have all of this stuff. And then you kind of fit in the middle. You know, I love to say RevOps is like the heartbeat or the synergy of the company, because you have a pulse on everything that's going on. You have to touch every department. And when RevOps is set up to be effective and they are at the table and they are part of the company, they can be very, 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 very effective when it comes to identifying and pulling people together. And I say herding the cats, you know, getting all of the people on the same page is really important, but you have to have the headcount to be able to do it, but then also the vision and support. Because I think the support is the key factor. If they don't support what you're trying to push, you're never going to be successful in that role.
Right. And then it starts with what even RevOps is, right? Like, and I think a lot of the, if I had to guess, probably 3/4 of the job descriptions out there on LinkedIn for RevOps positions are really like sales ops, just added the word RevOps to it.
Right? Exactly. Yep. Or they're the Salesforce admin and that's all they do. They right. just, tickets get fired at them all day and they can't be part of the strategy. Like for right. me, like I thrive in strategy. Like I want to think 5 steps ahead of where we are, see where mm-hmm. we're going, what can we scale? Here is the stuff that I'm seeing. But I can't do like the digging and the cleaning and be able to present mm-hmm. the strategy because it never stops. I mean, sitting in this role, you know, you're constantly getting yeah. things thrown at you and you have to prioritize and figure out what you can do and what you can't do. And it's either yes or no, sink or swim at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can 100% relate even in my current role on, you know, trying to expand and have additional resources, because you do get stuck down in the weeds, but it really should be a strategic position and you can't do both full time. Right. You can't designate right. that full time to both. And I think it's important for companies to really understand that it really is the full revenue journey. And I think sometimes companies organizationally aren't structured to support that. So for example, they may have a chief revenue officer, but maybe they also have a chief marketing officer, right? So it's not necessarily all under the same function, or the chief revenue officer is really a chief sales officer with a revenue title, right? Where you're really only supporting sales and maybe there's a different customer team and things like that. So I think organizational alignment is really critical. And I agree with you, RevOps needs to have a seat at the table. It needs to be more of an advisory function for people like you that are out there really building strategies, you know, in their organizations. And focusing on the full customer experience, not just, you know, do we do sales commissions this month?
Right.
You know, did we get those done? Right. right. You know, yes, that's an important piece of it. The sales operations is important, is a critical part of the buying journey, but that is one piece of the revenue operations function, right?
Right. Because if you break it down, I mean, there's probably what, 8 to 10 different operational functions that can live under a RevOps umbrella. You know, like you said, we're dealing with the comp and commissions. You're dealing with the enablement and sales support. You're dealing with the systems. You're dealing with the data integrity. You're dealing with, you know, deal desk if you've got the quote to cash under you. All of the operational departments, because you support all of that, you know, coaching, training, processes, and linking all of it together between all of the systems. And I think that's the key piece with being in the role is you're seeing things from bottom up and top down. You know, you should be getting the top-down communications on what's going on, what is the company strategy, what's happening. But then you're dealing with the users every day, so you kind of know all the friction and the pain points and all the places that you need to fix stuff. And then going back on headcount, you know, making sure that you do have support with resources. You know, that I just finally got a brand new resource and I'm so excited she's here to help. So it's like now we can kind of split and conquer with what we've been doing. So, but it's exciting. I feel like in RevOps, you have to thrive in chaos and change. Like we're probably and I've had like in companies, people just turn around and are like, who likes change? Everybody's like, I hate it. And they point at me because I'm like, yes, I love change because I'm usually the one right. changing it. But that just kind of goes with the role.
It definitely does. Yeah. I mean, technology changes, things change, budgets change, economy changes. You know, when there's something that happens, you have to adjust. You might have to adjust the system, commissions with the evolution of AI. I mean, the way all our tools are getting set up, new features vendors are having, like we just need to be agile to be able to adapt and to implement these things. So yeah, so I think change is constant, and that's why setting up any program, whether it be comp, quotas, technology, it's always important to anticipate that, right? That you may and probably will have a change, right? Or we're gonna roll out 1.0 and there's gonna be a 1.1 next month, right? I mean, it's just the way that it is.
With everything that you're doing, because I know you were out on the scene a lot. What are you seeing in RevOps with AI from your visual point?
I'm leveraging the tools that we have. So I'm trying to get a hold of our tech stack, because we have we just have a couple of tools. I'm trying to make sure they work really well together before we bring on more. And but some of the technologies are providing built-in generative AI. So call intelligence platforms, for example, are a great way to leverage the generative AI. Also, forecasting predictability tools are really great for that. Extracting things like MedPick and Command of the Message, I'm leveraging that. And these are tools that we already had. So I'm not out trying to buy more tools right now. My budget's pretty locked down. And two, I'm kind of one of those. I'd rather have like full adoption of what we have and, take advantage of all the bells and whistles and then, kind of go from there. How about you?
Same. We're just now kind of diving into that stuff of really like, how can we use it? How can we leverage it? Same stuff that you're trying to do too, is use what we have because of budget reasons, but then also where can we bring in other things? Even if it is, somebody still living in Excel, how can we get that AI with Excel set up and the connector so we don't have to do this manual stuff? But again, it goes back to bandwidth. You need the bandwidth because I see all the bells and whistles that I want to do and go turn on and put it together, but have to get to it.
I saw a talk, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was at the Sales Enablement Summit in New York. And one of the presenters was saying they'll take, and maybe a lot of people are doing this. I thought it was genius. Now they have a corporate subscription to ChatGPT. So they have like, kind of an enterprise contract, but they take like an Excel like list of companies, target type of companies, and dump it in there, get a list, and then, take that and then enrich it into like Zoom Info. So I thought it was a great way to, save some time and create a list that is in a target segment. And he's like, yeah, it's like, 90% accurate. I was like, oh, well, that's pretty genius.
Wonderful.
Like shortcut. Yeah. So I had some good takeaways there, but I know a lot of companies don't like to use ChatGPT, but they do have, I think, an enterprise subscription where some of your proprietary data isn't shared and stuff like that. So
yeah, that'll be fun, because I know that they've gotten better with it. At first it was, oh, ChatGPT can't analyze Excel. So then, Microsoft came up with something for their Excel. So yeah, that'll be fun to do. I think I've heard similar stories with ICPs, being able to dump what your ICPs in there and then get the buyer persona from that, different things that you can do with ICP and buyer persona. So it'll be interesting to really do that. And I know we're just now starting to really dip our toes in there and see what else we can pull out to be able to do that. Cause I do think it'll make us that much more productive.
Oh yeah. It's such a huge time saver, right? As long as you're doing it in a mindful manner.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure we've all been using it personally. I know I use it personally for tons of stuff. How can I take all of that and now put it into production at work will be the fun stuff.
Definitely. My son and I were eating breakfast the other day and I have the 4.0 version on my phone, and he's like, Mom, can I see that? And he like had it generate like a picture of a 12-year-old and his mom at breakfast. And like, he gave this description. It's so cute. It's like this little cartoonish image. And I was like, oh wow, I didn't know it could do that. So he's like, yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. This is all fascinating. It's amazing the stuff that we can do now with the AI. Yeah.
Well, on the mom topic and women in RevOps, I know that's something that you and I both share passionate about. I have a Women in RevOps group. I know this is something you talk about a lot. Give me a little perspective around just some thoughts about, women in this world. And I know in, traditionally in sales, it's kind of been male dominated over the years, but it's starting to shift and change. And I think RevOps is, a little bit more, I think 65-35 or something like that. I don't know, but, give me some thoughts on this topic. Love it.
Yeah. I'm so passionate about, you know, just of women empowerment in general. You know, coming into tech, we already know it is male dominated. A lot of these fields are. I think that it's so crucial for women to support each other, because we do still see, you know, in the competition, which is natural for women to have, you know, we are emotional beings. But I think when it comes to work and mentoring younger women coming into roles, is getting them to understand how crucial it is for all of us to support each other and not make it a competition. You know, we can all learn from each other. We all have different experiences. We all have life. But I think that is my key thing of, you know, and stick with it. You know, women are just as adaptable as men. Women can do the same thing that men can do. But I feel like we have to be a little bit stronger when it comes to being in these roles. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it is that way, but I do feel, you know, if women would support each other and give each other chances and really look out for each other in this stuff, we would be probably that much closer. But I also feel like it's building the allies as well. You know, I love seeing companies really taking on a lot more of women empowerment or the diversity and inclusion initiatives, because that's important. And then getting the gentlemen in our organizations to understand that as well, of like why it is important to show the diversity and inclusion, why people nowadays, when you're going to interview for a company, they're looking at your website to see who's in the C-suite. They're looking to see how many women are in your organization. They're looking to see how many women have a seat at the table, because then they'll feel good about coming to those organizations. So that's for me kind of one of the key points, because I think we all have our stories that we can tell, you know, where it has not been that pleasant to be a woman in certain situations. But I do feel like with everything going on just in the world in general, it's the opportune time just for women to kind of support each other, I think, is my key takeaway with that, and really include each other and groom the next generations that are coming up to understand why it's important to have female allies, and then getting gentlemen to understand why it's important, you know, to include women in these discussions and in these roles and conversations. That's my big speech when it comes to it. It's just super important.
I 1000% resonate with that. I mean, first of all, supporting each other is so important. And I think, you know, the younger 20 something year old version of myself might've been a little bit more competitive with other women.
Right.
And I don't know why. It's like, you know, it's almost like, you know, people want to see that or something. But I've just learned that, you know, I had a great mentor who actually is the one who, her name's Sharon Schaffner-Meyer. She's the one who told me about sales ops at the time. RevOps wasn't a thing. But really what I was doing was RevOps, because I did it all. But she was like, you'd be great at this. And she explained, you know, how the position, first of all, would have less travel. And I had a brand new baby born. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the first woman that I reported to in a senior level role where she like kind of like took me under her wing and was like, this is really, you're great at this. You need to do this. We need this role at our company. And it kind of changed the trajectory of my career. And I was struggling traveling with a newborn too, and trying to coordinate a nanny because right. My husband traveled and all this stuff. And being in that sales ops role meant I only needed to travel like once a quarter, and I could, she let me be remote. And at the time that role wasn't remote. So, if there wasn't a woman in that position that, you know, kind of did that for me, saw my potential, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. So I've been passionate about that as well. And, you know, I think there's things like pay gap is still a thing. Like I remember in a senior role, I got a new manager reporting to me. He was three levels down for me, and he was making like 20 grand more than I was. And I was like, wow. And he hadn't even been there as long as I had. So it's just things like that, that I've become passionate about as well over the years. And, so I don't know, how do you make that impact in your day to day? I know you do a lot of social media. Like how are you contributing, and, you know, and getting your message out there?
I think most of, you know, again, social media, but being involved in other groups, you know, being there for other women in your organization, you know, how can we support each other? Where can we involve? Where can we have a voice at the table? But I think it's the same as you. You know, we're in other organizations, we're in other community groups. And I really think even small impacts, if you're not one of those people that's extroverted and want to do all that, you could do that just right within your own organization. You know, making sure you meet all the females that you work with and all the women that you work with, and, you know, have conversations with them, let them know they have a safe space to come talk to you. And it's funny, because I do laugh, because I end up always being, I don't want to say the mom, but it's like creating that safe space. You do end up getting conversations with people and you're like, wow, this person's sharing a lot of information with me. I'm glad that they trust me, you know, and it creates that safe bond at work, because I do feel, you know, in my past experience, I've had jobs where I just felt completely alienated. Like I wasn't comfortable talking to anybody. I wasn't comfortable voicing my opinion. I wasn't comfortable saying anything, because you knew you were either going to be judged, looked at crazy, or just talked over. So it was kind of like you got to that point where you were just like, well, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. And you ended up not being there because the work, you didn't like where you worked at. And I think it's important for people to like their job and like the people they work with. So I think the message for me would be, working with women, just support each other, get to know each other. Not everybody's going to get along, but you can still be professional. You can still, you know, work together and at least be respectful to each other. And then take on, even if you don't want to be a mentor, mm-hmm. you could still mentor people from a distance. You know, mm-hmm. we all have younger women in our organization that are just thriving. They're where we were. You know, mm-hmm. and you see them, like, they want to learn and they're like sponges and they're asking questions, like, kind of just take them under your wing a little and teach them a little thing, you know, have conversations with them. And I feel like that is what goes really, really far, especially now, you know, mm-hmm. now with the generations, like you said, in our 20s, it was different than the 20s mm-hmm. now. You know, right. I feel like the 20s now are more vocal. They're more to tell you like, no, I don't agree with this. No, I don't like this, which is great, because then they have a voice. Then you can just help support the voice.
I totally agree with that. I definitely have experienced that. And I love talking to younger women at conferences. A lot of time they'll come up to me, you know, we'll have discussions and, you know, about challenges that they're facing and, you know, how do they communicate across the organization? I think that's one of the big things, is feeling like they're able to go into, you know, communicate into other departments without their boss getting mad about it, right? You know, if their boss happens to be a male and they're, you know, trying to maybe work on a project cross-functionally. I've heard some of those a lot, but I think just being supportive as much as possible is awesome. I'd love to talk to you more about this stuff too, like outside of this podcast. So we can
definitely
coordinate for sure. So I guess maybe if you have any sort of a RevOps, maybe story problem or something you fixed that you think our listeners would find valuable, you know, it could be a positive or negative outcome. Do you have anything you want to share?
Sure. I mean, I think a couple things, and it's funny because it's happened numerous times. So now I can like actually bring it up and think about it and talk about it, is going into a role and you're trying to put all the A's and B's together. You're seeing all the data messes. I think data is probably one of the biggest things that we notice first off. You know, once mm-hmm. you've seen it one or two times, you kind of know where it is. Where do you go dive in to see if things actually match? Most recently, you know, especially when you're in a CRM, you want all of your customer data there. You know, the first questions you're asking, how many customers do we have? What's the churn? You know, how do you go find all of these accounts? Do you know who's in charge of the accounts? I think one of the biggest ones for me recently has been when you go into the data cleanliness stuff and you see things are off, don't stop. Mm-hmm. Like, you may see something is not working and then you end up down a rabbit hole and see other things are not working. And then you just keep going because you see all of the misalignment. And I do feel there's that some, you know, I've come across consultants, you know, when you bring in a consultant, like a business analyst or something, like, hey, here's this Excel spreadsheet. I need you to go data loader this, clean it up. And they just stop there. And then you go look and you're like, well, what about this? What about this? What mm-hmm. about this? You know, I think it's one of those. As we communicate things that we want to get done, making sure we say, and if you see this other stuff, please go correct that too, so I don't have to come back and do it again. Because I feel like that has been one of the hamster wheels that I end up getting on, is, you know, and then you're constantly going back and doing it over and over again. I would say a good story would be coming into an organization and building out a deal desk department from scratch. Mm. I mean, that's everybody's like golden ticket right there. Like mm-hmm. building something from scratch with your vision and being able to bring in, hire the people, you know, carve out the function, write all the processes for it, integrate it into the teams, and overall seeing the impact that it made when you did it. That probably is my biggest, greatest story ever. Like, don't be scared to say, hey, we don't have this, but it would be really great if we did. Having that visionary vision, and then making sure, you know, you're learning about it. You know, if you've never seen it before, or if you have seen it and you're bringing it into a new organization, don't be scared to bring up the idea. Like, hey, we don't have this, but this is where it would fit. Here's what we could do, you know, and really stay with it. Even if you get a no, keep talking about it, keep going with it. Like that, you've seen it work. If you know it's going to work, if you know it's going to make an impact in the organization, just don't be scared to keep pressing on it to be able to see if you can get it to go. So,
Yeah. I mean, you're not always going to get a yes the first time. It may be bad timing, or maybe you didn't, you know, bring the business case or make the team comfortable enough. I mean, especially if you're new in a position, they're still kind of looking at you with like one eye, you know, kind of like this.
Exactly.
You know, is this woman going to work out or what, you know? So that's definitely great advice, because I think a lot of times in this role, others still don't, as you mentioned earlier, don't understand it. So you're going to have to teach them, you know, it's almost like you have to apply the selling skills that we teach our sellers to your internal, right? So hey, we have to show them the pain and show them the data and appeal to the C-suite's greed, essentially, on how much money or, you know, they're going to lose, or how much we can tighten up the deal cycle. We might be able to shave 2-3 weeks off of it, which is additional in your revenue. So things like that, I think if you're not getting the yes the first time and you really believe it needs to happen, is you've got to close them.
Yes, absolutely. And back them up with data. You know, it goes back to the data cleaning. You know, I mean, even in my current role right now, I feel like that's all I've been doing for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But now seeing the alignment in the data and the stuff that I'm able to produce to give to them to say, hey, here's a justification for some of the things. Here is some of the stuff that you couldn't see before, but now you can see it. You're starting to add that value and gain the trust and the understanding of like, oh, okay, now this makes sense. Especially if you're coming into a company who's never seen it before. You know, it is, you know, we're in a fresh spot where we are with Chronicle of, you know, building these functions out, building this business out into a new model. So a lot of the stuff that we're introducing is new for the business, you know, in general.
Wow. Well, this is awesome. I'm sure we could go on and on for days. Maybe you can leave the listeners with a few tips, just things that you kind of live by or go by, and we'll wrap it up.
Absolutely. I think one of the big key ones, RevOps, be a lifelong learner. Like, don't stop learning, whether it be, I mean, LinkedIn. Oh my goodness. I don't know how many times I scroll LinkedIn in a day and just see the coolest posts and I screenshot them and stick them in my folder. Like, cause you never know where you're going to need this information. Be a lifelong learner and ask questions. I think it's asking the why. Always ask why, even though, you know, some people you ask why to, and they will be so annoyed with you for asking, but it's more of to understand. You're not questioning them. You're basically trying to understand why something is the way that it is. But always ask questions and just continue to learn. Because I think that that's where being in this role, and if you plan on being in this role for longevity, you're constantly going to have to learn and see new things.
I love it. I love it. Great, great tips and words to live by. So I really appreciate the time today, Tana, taking the time on the show. Everybody, this has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Thank you.
This has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. Until next time, keep unboxing.